Hey church, Pastor Adam here. I wanted to say thank you for stopping by for Church Online today. And while we're super excited that you're hanging out with us for this message, we also want to remind you this is just supplemental and it should not and cannot replace the local church in your life. So while we hope today's message shapes and encourages and challenges you exactly where you're at, we also know that we can't be the substitute for the local body. In fact, we believe the church is God's plan A for reaching the world. So if you're in Paducah one Sunday morning, come join us in person for rest. But if not, go and find a local Bible-believing, Jesus-preaching church near you and get plugged in. Jesus loves the church, and we love Jesus, and we believe we can better serve Jesus if we're locally connected, serving her well. So welcome to rest.
At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. All returned to their ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all of these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. The gift from the Father, the gift from the Son. Jesus came in humility, wrapped in swaddling cloths, laid in a manger. He came to serve, not to be served, but to give his life as a ransom for many. The King of Heaven chose a cave over a castle. He chose a cross over a crown. And he chose love over power. In his humility, we find our worth. In his service, we find our calling. For the one who knelt to wash feet now reigns to wash hearts clean. The gift from the Father, the gift from the Son. This child grew much like you and me. We study and we learn to further our education and to expand our knowledge. We work and we toil to further our careers, to earn lives for ourselves. We labor day in and we labor day out for those closest to us and for ourselves as well. But Jesus, he studied and he learned to reveal the truth and to fulfill the scriptures. He worked and he toiled to bring light to a dark world and hope to the hopeless. He labored unceasingly, not for comfort or for recognition, but for the salvation of all, even those who rejected him. We seek to build our lives. He gave his away. Where we labor for temporary gain, his work secured eternal glory. And through his sacrifice, we find the truest purpose for our learning, our working, and our laboring, to reflect his love and share his grace. Jesus labored endlessly, not for his own gain, but for the lost, and for the broken, and for those who could offer him nothing in return. We seek rest after our work, but he sought the weary, offering them rest. We strive to build a life, but he laid his down so that others might truly live. His purpose was never self-serving, but always self-giving. A love that worked and suffered and triumphed for the sake of others. His gift, his example, calls us to live with greater purpose and selflessness. The gift of the Father, the gift of the Son. His coming was a gift long expected to a world that was lost in desperate need for a Savior. Prophets foretold him, hearts longed for him, but in silence, hope flickered until the night heaven touched earth. A child was born, but not just any child. A light for those in darkness, the shepherd for the wandering, the king for the broken, and the lamb for the sinner. His coming was a gift that we could never earn, but the one we needed most. Isaiah, the prophet of old, tells us, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as a people rejoice before the harvest. And like warriors dividing the plunder, for you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and with justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. Jesus came to a lost world, stepping down from glory into humility. He lived a modest life with no possessions to his name. The King of Kings, yet with no place to lay his head. He chose not to receive, but only to give, offering love to the outcast, healing to the broken, and hope to the hopeless. He was hated by many and humiliated as well. With tears in his eyes, he was despised and he was rejected, yet he did not open his mouth. Still, he stayed the course to fulfill his purpose. With every step, he carried the weight of our sin until he was nailed to a cross, taking our place, the innocent for the guilty, the righteous for the lost. By his wounds we are healed, that we may have life and his mercy and his grace, a gift freely given, yet paid in full by his love. The gift from the Father, the gift from the Son. Jesus left this world not just to return to heaven, but to offer us yet another gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. This gift would dwell in us, comforting, guiding, and empowering us as we walk the path that is set before us. But this gift is also a promise that he will return to gather his people, to wipe away every tear, and to claim us as his own for eternity. Until that day comes, his Spirit remains a constant reminder of his love and a foretaste of the glory to come. The gift from the Father, the gift from the Son. You have been offered the original Christmas gift, the gift of salvation, a gift freely given, yet paid with the highest price. What will you choose to do with it? Will you leave it unopened, sitting quietly on the shelf of good intentions? Or will you receive it with open hands and a willing heart, letting it transform your life from the inside out? The gift of salvation is more than a moment. It's the beginning of a journey, a walk with the one who gave everything for you. Today, the invitation stands. What will you choose? Let us respond to the call with acceptance, with praise, and with adoration. For the gift of Christ is before us, freely given, undeserved yet offered in love. With humble hearts, we say, yes, Lord. We welcome the Savior, the light of the world, into our lives. We lift our voices in gratitude, declaring glory to the newborn King. Let our lives be a song of worship, our hearts a manger prepared for his presence. Let every breath echo with the truth, Christ has come and he is worthy of all praise. May our response be one of surrender and joy, for he has called us by name, and through him we are made new. Come, let us adore him. Come, let us praise his name, Christ, our Lord and King. Praise the Lord. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heaven. Praise Him for His mighty works. Praise His unequaled greatness. Praise Him with the blast of a ram's horn. Praise Him with the lyre and with the harp. Praise Him with the tambourine. Praise Him with dancing. Praise Him with strings and flutes. Praise Him with the clash of the cymbals. Praise Him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise He who is worthy. The King who stepped down into our world, bringing hope and peace and salvation. Give thanks to the Father, the gift of every good and perfect gift. Give thanks to the Son, the Lamb who was slain, who reigns forevermore. Thank Him for His endless love, for mercy that renews each morning. Thank Him for the Christmas gift, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Let our hearts overflow with gratitude. Our voices rise in worship. For unto us a Savior is born. Glory to God in the highest. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The gift from the Father, the gift from the Son, the gift of Christmas. Merry Christmas.